So we're talking about leadership, okay? And the last 2 weeks, we redefined leadership according to the Bible. We looked at what Jesus said leadership was. And then we began talking about what at least in our material, I refer to as leadership multipliers. You can refer to it in the book, The Multiplication Challenge, written by Pastor Steve Merle. And that's what we're studying right now. We began with the first two I's, identify and instruct. And this week, we will tackle the next two I's, okay, impartation and internship. Okay, but before that, I want to do a quick discussion question. And if you could pair up, the question is simple. Okay, I want you to identify one person, okay, one individual that you feel has made a significant impact in your life. Okay, that's just contributed so much in your life for whatever reason. Wonderful. All right, so, and then the question is this, okay, identify who that person is, and then share one life lesson you learned from that person. Okay, like think of the person. And then I want you to take time and share what life lesson this person taught you. Got it? All right, I'll give you a few minutes to do that. Ready? Just pair up and we'll go. Thank you. Go. Let's hear a few answers from the group. Irene, can we start with you? Who did you identify?
I identified a lady named
Holly, okay.
And she most recently reminded me, I knew back as a child, but she most recently reminded me that, you know, when I'm struggling with something, whether it's self-esteem or fear or feeling powerless to, you know, go back and what does the Bible say you have?
Mm.
What does the Bible just reminded me to, you know, when I'm feeling those things, to see what the Bible says about that stuff. And
okay.
To draw my strength from that.
Nice. Follow-up question. How did you end up acquiring that lesson from her? You learned this lesson from her, so she's teaching it to you.
Yes.
How did she teach it to you?
She pointed it out point blank, just like that.
She speaks into your life like that?
Yes.
How did she earn the right to speak into your life in that way?
She was my kind of like a mentor,
mm-hmm.
kind of like a go-to person when, you know, when I was just still in a certain way.
Nice.
But she, this lady was accountability.
Mm-hmm. Okay, one last question. What's one behavior she did that earned your trust to listen to her?
Her foundation in God.
Mm-hmm.
In
that's great.
Spiritual person. She, everything that she talked about, she backed up.
So she walked the walk way before. That's great. Chris, what about you? Who was the person you identified?
It was my first real boss.
Okay. Because there was another boss that was fake, right? I got that one. But all right, let's listen to the real boss. I want to hear about the real boss.
And it's just, it stuck with me since before she was born.
Wow.
In any situation, if you work hard and tell the truth, everything will work out.
Wow. How did you learn that lesson from him? What did he do?
By not working hard, no. No, it was my first real job.
Okay.
You mean getting paid? Yeah.
No, but like not washing dishes or like it was
career
a real job with a real
okay.
company,
okay.
real responsibilities. And I looked up to him,
mm-hmm.
and so I just tried to glean whatever I could, and that was a key
wow.
phrase that stuck with me ever since.
Okay, so he said it out loud to you. He actually spoke those words over you,
yeah.
and it stuck ever since. Nice.
I didn't hear the words. What did he say?
Can you say, repeat the words? So.
Work hard, tell the truth.
And it stuck. I mean, that long ago, but to this day, it's still there. That's powerful. Allison?
My person was in the mid to late 80s. I moved up to Washington, D.C. For my first career and had no money. And so there's a woman who was really high in the financial world and volunteered to meet with young single women. And the first thing she said, I sat down, and she was it was known she was a Christian, but she said, I'm going to talk about tithing. So, like the first few sessions, she wouldn't deal with anything but tithing. But she bawled. I'll never forget, I sat across from her. She looked just like Doris Day. She was such a pretty lady. And she cried when she said, do you understand the cattle on 1,000 hills belongs to the Lord? And, like, it revolutionized my life.
Wow.
And I never struggled with giving because of that, ever.
Wow.
Because she, just her heart, like, I caught the heart of God.
Wow.
Through, you know, the first few sessions. And
okay. And it stuck ever since.
Ever since. And I have a hard time understanding why people don't want to give, only because, like, I caught the heart of God in one meeting with her.
Wow. Wow. All right. Sandra, one last one. Come on.
I think my husband.
Okay.
I've known him forever, and I've watched soap operas when we first got married.
Okay.
He said, you realize that what you're seeing, you know, that's influencing your soul. You know, you're taking that in. And
mm.
So, yeah, stop using profanity, stop watching soap operas, and that was, you know, over 40 years ago. So,
wow.
Yeah.
All right. Nice. That's good to know too. Watching the soaps probably not watching the soaps probably helped. All right, if you could turn to Romans chapter 1, we look at words that Paul wrote. Romans chapter 1. As you're turning there, I drew once upon a time I was trying to become an architect. I didn't know you needed to know how to draw. So, very quickly I realized this is not the right path for me. So as you can see, this is my best attempt at drawing a person here, alright? So, looks closer to a gingerbread man, so not bad, huh? Anyway, but we're talking about the four leadership multipliers. And the first I, which we discussed, was the idea of identification. And the idea here is, we all know that God has a plan for every single person. But God also has a timing for individuals. And what we're saying is, if we look at the person and we see F-A-I-T-H, right? When they exhibit faith, then we can partner with what God's trying to do in their lives to help them move forward in their giftedness, their callings, and their strengths. Correct? We also talked about instruction. The truth is, we need to renew our minds with the teaching of God's Word. So, we talk about instruction. Instruction deals with the head. Correct? What we're discussing now is impartation. And the big difference between instruction and impartation is, in both cases, you learn. But in impartation, it deals with the heart. Take a look at what Paul wrote in Romans. The book of Romans, we relate to it as a book, but really it's a long letter. It's a letter of instruction from the Apostle Paul. And it's probably, you know, if you like studying these things, theologians say it's probably Paul's greatest presentation of the gospel. Like, if you want to have a deep understanding of the gospel, study the book of Romans. So it's an important teaching. But look at what he says in Romans chapter 1, verse 11 and 12, to the church in Rome, a church he has yet to meet. Okay? So he has not met this church. He's sending them instruction. But in Romans chapter 1, verse 11, he says there, I long, that's an emotion word, he wants, he yearns, he desires to see the church. That, what? He may impart to them some spiritual gift to strengthen them. That is, that they may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith, both yours and mine. Right? So he is able to instruct them with probably the most important teaching ever, the gospel, through a written letter. But he knew if he was to impart and impact the heart with encouragement, with strengthening, he needed to become close to them. You can instruct from afar, but if you are to impact the heart, you have to get close. Proximity matters. Proximity matters. If you think back to the individuals who have made a significant life impact in your life, it wasn't just through some random book. It probably wasn't through a podcast you listened to. It was more often than not, and you know, in the times I've taught this class, I have yet to hear one. Okay, so far, doing pretty okay in terms of statistics here. That it's actual people who live lives within proximity to you, who actually allow what the Bible says, iron sharpening iron. That really, when God talks about you are the clay and I am the potter, many times it's the people closest to us that he uses to mold us, isn't it? And so we're talking about leadership multipliers. It's one thing to get instruction. And we can have a lot of good instruction. But if we are unwilling to build relationships that really allow people around us to cut us to the heart, we're missing out. We need them to shape our hearts. Okay? So the Apostle Paul could provide teaching and instruction to the early church through letters, but he expressed his desire to see them in person so that he could impart faith and spiritual strength to the believers. So while instruction is about the head, knowledge, understanding, theology, impartation deals with the heart. Okay? Leaders are never made in a classroom. Scholars, maybe. But leaders require relational dynamic so that the heart can be changed. Okay? How many of you remember the Proverbs that talk about faithful are the wounds of a friend, profuse are the kisses of an enemy? Proverbs 27, verse 6. Or about this, a man of many companions may come to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. Okay? We need to get out of the classroom and walk around other leaders if we're to grow in our leadership. Okay? We need to have people. We need to let people into our lives.
Amen.
Who do you have in your life who you've given permission to cut your hearts? Take a moment to stop. Do you have people? Could you list down three right now? People who you have given permission and have actually used that. Who have actually spoken into your life hard truth. Truth you may not want to hear. Truth like, don't watch a soap opera anymore. Or worse than that, or harder than that. Okay, take a moment. Can you think of three people? Can you listen down? All right, go ahead. Try writing them down. Try putting a list of three together. It doesn't have to be a lot. And I really don't recommend that it is a lot. Because you are also supposed to guard your heart. But I do believe you ultimately guard your heart from your heart. Practical request. When this class is done, could you send them a message and thank them for investing in you? It takes a lot of courage to walk into another person's private space. All of us have a distance that's casual and comfortable. But to allow people in to really see the real us, that takes a lot of courage, both from you and the person walking in. Right? The reason why iron sharpens iron is because of friction. Friction is never comfortable. You just start rubbing your hands a little bit, you produce heat. I do that all the time now because it's so cool. But the fact is, you need relationships close to produce that heat as well. If your heart's growing cold, it's probable that you're not walking close enough with people. You keep everybody at a safe distance where they don't actually get to impart into you, or you don't impart to them. It's very easy to instruct people from afar. I may not know you, look at you from afar and go, oh, don't do that. And I feel like I've done my job by putting you right. It's another thing completely to walk closely with a person and realize they can't do this, and let's help them. Oh, they're going to fall again. That journey is a lot slower, a lot harder. Right? Now we're talking about the heart. So, in order to equip disciples in leadership and ministry, Jesus knew that they needed more than a good sermon. So he invited his disciples to be with him, not only to model the principles he taught, but also to impart his very life to them. Okay, his life was the ultimate object lesson. So, Mark chapter 3, verse 13 to 15, we see that there. He went up to the mountain and called to him those whom he desired, and they came to him. And he appointed 12, whom he also named apostles, so that they might be with him, and that he might send them out to preach and have authority to cast out demons. Notice that he wanted them with him. And after that interaction, that he may send them out. Okay? Once again, while instruction does not require face-to-face interaction, impartation requires proximity, a growing relationship, because it involves personal mentoring and coaching. Okay? Jesus spent 3 years with his disciples, sharing every aspect of his life with them. And because they had been with Jesus, they were forever changed, and they, in turn, changed the world. Look at what it says in Acts chapter 4, verse 13. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, this is the same Peter who denied him 3 times, right? But now after the Holy Spirit was given to them, after the cross, after Jesus restored Peter, we see that Peter is bold before the Sanhedrin. And even though they were captured and were questioned, they didn't back down. Look at what it says here. When these people who were accusing Peter and John saw their boldness, they perceived that they were what? Uneducated. Man, these people are just fishermen. Common men. They were astonished, and they recognized that these people have been with Jesus. Acts chapter 4, verse 13. Okay? So, what are the goals of impartation? The goals of impartation are the development of spiritual gifts, strength, and mutual encouragement. Again, from the verse we read earlier. Romans 1, verse 11 and 12. First, spiritual gifts. Okay, impartation is not about leaders giving the gifts to others. It's about identifying what the Holy Spirit has already deposited in them and directing them towards what they can best use their gifts to serve and strengthen the church. As leaders, we help those who are leading identify, stir up, and develop their spiritual gifts. For these potential leaders to grow, they will need to be connected to our leaders as well. So 1 Timothy 4, verse 14 says, do not neglect the gift you have, which was given you by prophecy when the council of elders laid their hands on you. Paul identified Timothy's spiritual gift. However, it was Timothy's responsibility to then steward that gift. Remember what 2 Timothy 1 verse 6 talks about? Paul writes to Timothy again and he says, fan into flame. fan into flame. You've tried that, right? Fireplace, coals, if you're trying to grill, when you fan it, it gets hotter. And there was an impartation given to Timothy. But Paul was saying, you got to fan that gift into flame, which is given you through the laying on of hands. Okay? No one here is part of the council of elders. No one here is an apostle. But our job is more to get people to situations where they can receive ministry like this. Help stir up spiritual gifts. Let's not take something that elders are supposed to do and do it ourselves. Okay? So, as you can see from scriptures, everyone needs more than group leaders. We also need the authority of the local church. So, here's where, when we talk about spiritual gifts are given for one purpose. Two purposes, sorry. To strengthen the body and to witness to the world that does not know Jesus. Okay? And the problem is when you try to limit yourself to one spiritual gift. Let me say that again. The problem is when you try to limit yourself to one spiritual gift. Okay? For example, maybe you don't have the grace to be an evangelist.
You said the gifts are given for spiritual. The spiritual gifts are given to
strengthen the body and to be a witness to the lost world.
Okay.
So we see that taught by Paul in Scripture. He talked about tongues. He talked about prophecy, right? And he said that when you prophesy, the non-believers among you will say, "Truly, God is in your midst." Right? And we do that a certain way now in the way we do church now. I don't know if you've ever experienced that when the preacher's preaching and you feel like the preacher's speaking just to you. Even if you weren't saved yet. Right? It's like, this is a setup. My friend invited me and I think that he talked to the pastor to say that. And really what it is the Holy Spirit is using the words of a person and bringing it into practical application in a person's life, right? To burst something in their spirit. Okay? But what I wanted to say was that, so spiritual gifts is critical. Number two, strength. Okay, the Apostle Paul wants to see the saints in Rome impart a spiritual gift to strengthen them. Impartation makes us strong. It helps empower and strengthen us through godly, loving relationships. Okay? Question. Are you the kind of person that when people think of you, they think of you as a person who, when they leave the time with you, they feel stronger? Or, when they leave time with you, they're like, "I am tired." We all have relationships like that. The question is, are you a relationship like that to others? Or are you the kind of relationship that, are you the kind of person that when people come around you, that grace to encourage, that grace to put strength in, is just there? Okay, I like when one person defined encouragement to me, to encourage is to put courage in. Encourage, put courage in. So when you talk about strength, or the next point, mutual encouragement, the idea here is when we talk about impartation, are we constantly bearing the life of Christ in us? The fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. Have you thought about it? It's called fruit. That means you're the tree. You don't eat of it. Take a moment. Picture it. If you're a tree and you bear the fruit of the Spirit, then that means I can come to you and pluck patience off, love off, self-control off, meaning I can benefit from you. Do you notice the fruit of the Spirit are all relational words? You can't say you're loving until you're in a relationship, can you? You cannot say that you are loving until you're in a relationship. That's hard to love. Have you ever prayed for patience? Why not? Why not? When you pray for patience, He will give you people that will show just how impatient you are. Is that true?
Yes. Strength is the same way. People get in your way, and they'll test your strength and see how that you lack.
Yes.
See how much you lack.
Yes. Which is why when you talk about the idea of the firm foundations, you know, just let me just go there. Strengthening encouragement gifts. Parable talks, Jesus talks, teaches the parable of the firm foundation, right? If the man who built his house on the rock versus the man who built his house on sand, right? And many of us think when we go through storms, it makes us stronger. That's not the correct application of that passage. Why? Because storms don't make you stronger. If storms make you stronger, then, for example, in my country, we're constantly dealing with multiple storms.
Where are you from?
From the Philippines. We're in typhoon area, okay? What I found out is this. Storms don't make you stronger. Storms only show the strength of the foundation that's there. You build well. When the storms come, you don't shake. It's pretty straightforward. If I don't build well, the only thing a storm will do is expose how bad the foundation of the house is. Making sense? So we're talking about impartation. The reason I'm bringing that up is because two things. One, you need, as a leader, people in your life making sure your foundations are strong. Just because you're dealing with a trial or a testing doesn't mean you're going to come out of it well. That's why the Bible says, James says, perseverance must finish its work so that you may end up mature and complete. What it's doing is it's exposing so that hopefully with other people around you, you'll deal with it. And God will use people to sharpen you that way. The most frustrating thing about the fruit of the Spirit is its fruit. What does that mean? I can't manufacture it even if I try. Only thing I can do is get rooted, stretch my branches to the sun, drink as much water from the ground, and wait for it. I cannot force love out. Today's love day, come on. I need it. It doesn't work, does it? If you've ever tried to do it, have you? I know. Come on, let's be honest. I've tried. Man, I need self-control right now. I realized when Jesus said, abide in the vine, that's what I can do. And the moment I pull away, I stop drawing from the life that allows me to bear fruit. Now, if I abide in the vine, the rest of John 15 come into play. Which is what? Pruning. 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 I don't enjoy pruning. But I've learned to appreciate God. If He didn't prune me, I'd be a mess. And I know there have been many times I would not let Him prune me. And you know how I do that? I do not let people speak into my life.
So, you hit this point, but I'm just asking you to unpack it a little bit. You said we also need the authority of the local church, because I think that this right now is something that is definitely missing. So can you unpack that a little bit for us?
So here's the interesting thing when it comes to correction. Okay, let's address that one a little bit. Okay, when a brother has wronged you in Scripture, whose responsibility is it to right it? Not the leader, not the pastor. Is that correct? That's what Scripture says. Right? Jesus didn't arbiter all the situations, did he? It's interesting. He actually expected the disciples to work through it. All across Scripture we're told, whether you were the one wronged or you were the one wrong, the responsibility is on you, and the Holy Spirit empowers you to make it right. That today you are a minister of reconciliation, therefore you exhort everybody to be reconciled, be right with God. Okay? So there. Now, and every local church is a little different on their stand on church discipline, and that's an interesting discussion. I don't want to get into that one today. But what I will say is this. Where we're at, I guess, you know, with the movement I'm a part of, that I'm aware of, and at least the church environment I've seen, and the discipline that I've watched people work through as well, there's a biblical mandate on how to discipline. And there's a responsibility on us before God to do so. There's also a responsibility on us to restore those who have fallen. And it is never an easy discussion. We've been in situations where a person was outright sinning. And it has been brought by one witness, by two witnesses, before a group. And at the end of the day, we're going to have to follow the Scripture and, all right, we can no longer associate with you. But what that means is you're no longer living the life of a Christian. So now we relate with you the way we related everybody who is not a Christian. And we present grace. We introduce the gospel of grace and the need for a Savior. And we plead with them, be reconciled to God. Right? So the journey of restoring people who were wrong, it's a heartbreaking process. But one laden with what I'm grateful for is grace. I think of how grace. I forgot. It's okay. I think of how the greatest offense Peter or anybody could have done. I don't know if any of us realize that. We all just think when Peter denied Jesus, he just decided to change his mind and stop going to church that day. No, it wasn't that simple. He probably did the gravest sin that a Jew could do. We don't understand the depth of how significant a sin that was to deny Jesus in their world, in their cultural context. And then Jesus restored him. Wow. My friend who was mentoring me in pastoring once said, Carlos, when you ever get yourself in that situation, it's never easy, but I'll tell you this. Earn the side of grace. If you're going to make a mistake, make a mistake on the side of grace. Amen. I was like, ooh. May I never have to be in that situation, but thank you, Lord. That's one who has received mercy, myself. Okay? So, I don't know if that directly answered your question, but I think church discipline, it's easy to stand on the side of righteousness and move very quickly into self-righteousness. When you are no longer fighting the cause of Christ, and you are now just fighting. Amen. Don't go there. So when we deal with impartation, and here's, I'm glad you brought this up. Because sometimes, what you may want to do is impart life lessons That's important. But ultimately what you want to impart, and we'll get here, is you want to impart Christ. When I was a new disciple and I was making disciples early, I wanted the people I was discipling to do everything I did. There was a book. We do campus ministry. Statistically, we found out people on the campus, one of the reasons they turned their back on Christ and stopped walking with Christ early is because of they get into a relationship early. They get into a relationship and it causes them to lose their focus and their devotion to Christ, and it sidelines them, or it actually gets them off the game. So when I was in university, there was a book that came out, Joshua Harris's book, I Kissed Dating Goodbye. It was a book based on the premise of a pursuit towards holiness and a desire to pursue God. It was well intended. You know, we read the book, it resonated with me on, yeah, this is what we've been wanting to do. You know, however, what started to happen is people started to preach Joshua Harris's book, I Kissed Dating Goodbye, more than they preach the Bible. So what happened was people were quoting Joshua Harris. They were not bearing the fruit of a revelation of God's word. It was not gospel transformation. It was really the law. It was a man-made requirement that was imposed on another person, and it was not bringing life. We could do the same thing in our groups. You know, you need to read your Bible at 6 in the morning. That's the best time to read the Bible. If you don't read the Bible at 6 in the morning, you're not reading the Bible right. I mean, that's well intended. It probably really bears fruit in your life. But that's law. And that really isn't actually trying to get them into Christ. So, the last verse here. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Okay. We must recognize that those we are leading will watch and imitate how we live. People will follow what we do, not just what we say. Therefore, like the Apostle Paul, be willing to open our lives and share what it looks like to follow Christ. So be imitators of me as I am of Christ. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 1. Okay? So imitation is great, but explain to them why you're doing it. Okay? Here's the reason why I decide to wake up at this early in the day to begin my day in prayer and in the Word. Explain the revelation behind the behavior. Don't just require the behavior. Whenever we read Scripture and we read the stories of the Pharisees, how many of you, when you read that, they're the bad guys? Am I right? I mean, you read that, Jesus is the good guy, the disciples are that's his gang, and then there's these bad guys, the Pharisees. Right? Except for one thing. The Pharisees were the people who were the most devoted to the Word of God at the time. They were the churchgoers. We paint them the bad guys, but really, we could be Pharisees. Try reading the Gospels again, and every time a Pharisee comes up, put yourself in there. I see, that's you. For a moment, just try it. Try it. You know why? Because there's a Pharisee in each one of us. So when you do impartation, be careful. The Pharisees were rebuked for requiring law and missing out on the Spirit. Impartation is powerful because it shapes the heart. But you could shape a heart with a man-made law, or you could shape the heart with gospel transformation. I obviously want you to learn to do gospel transformation. Okay? And finally, internship. Okay? If we talk about identification as finding faith in a person's life, F-A-I-T-H, you remember what that is, right? Faithful, available, involved, teachable, and hungry. Instruction deals with the head. Ding! Smarter. Impartation deals with the heart. Why is this guy's foot, right foot, bigger than the other? Internship deals with the hands and feet. The whole idea behind internship is enabling people to do things for God. Okay, sure. Faith. Faithful, available, involved, teachable, and hungry. So, internship, last point, and then we'll wrap up with the discussion. Internship is on-the-job training for biblical discipleship and spiritual leadership. It has three stages. It's in your notes: observation, participation, and evaluation. Okay?
Page 5.
Oh, yeah. Are you guys, sorry. Are you tracking with me? Okay. Internship can be formal or informal. It can involve specific responsibilities and skills. Okay, whether it's a formal internship, you know, where you actually apply for it and get mentored in a specific thing, or informal, somebody just brings you along. Okay? These are valid and important. Internship can even help us identify potential leaders that way. Okay? Internship takes learning out of the classroom and into real scenarios and puts the concept information learned to practical application. I just learned this concept recently and I thought it was profound. Doing leads to insight more than insight leads to doing. Doing leads to insight more than insight leads to doing. Sorry? Doing leads to insight the way insight leads to doing. How do you know that that's true? Good. Yes? Hi. Yeah, agreeing? Good. Good to know.
Well, I was just going to say sometimes when you have the opportunity to speak to another person's life and you really see that the Holy Spirit is speaking through you, all of a sudden you stop and say, wait, whoa, that was awesome. Give me a second. Let me write that down.
Yeah. Because in the act of it yourself, you realize, wow, God's actually using me, huh? The reason why we bring up the idea of internship is because if all we do is learn, the tendency is you have a lot of great insight, but no real action. And at the end of the day, the Bible tells us that our faith is shown most by our action. You know, I really do believe belief leads to proper behavior. But how many of you know sometimes you need to behave to realize you believe? Like the tithing. You know, the person that impacted my life the most was my mom. She was a single mom. And as a teenager going into college, I watched my mom believe God for provision on a week-to-week basis. And I kid you not, she had two jobs, worked in insurance. She didn't finish college, so she worked in insurance, then did a lot of other things on the side. One of the things that she did was, while she was in college, she danced. So she liked to dance, right? And so I remember this as clear as, yeah, it was yesterday, like Friday, I'd see her in a room, praying, crying, okay? She'd be crying. I go, okay, what's going on? I didn't realize, I find out later, that's because she didn't have money for marketing the next day. We normally do marketing on Saturdays. And so she'd be there just praying, God, I did my best. I just didn't make it. The amount of money I made didn't make it for marketing this week. And she'd pray and she'd pray and she'd pray. Then she'd get a call. This was before the days of dance instructors. In the Philippines, we call them DIs, dance instructors. When groups in a home would call and say, hey, teach us how to tango, teach us how to waltz, teach us how to dance swing, you know, things like that. And so my mom would be in tears. It's like, Lord, help. And then that night, kid you not, that night she'd get a call. Group of her friends, hey, guess what? We're all coming together tonight, and we were thinking, you know, what do we do? Let's do something different. Could you come and teach us how to dance a swing or the cha-cha, and we'll pay you for it? And she goes, oh, yeah, sure. You know, she'd come home with enough money for marketing that week. So here's the thing. I watched my mom believe God for provision. I did. And I knew watching that from afar, well, not afar, but I knew watching her faith that, wow, God provides. But here's the interesting thing. When the time came and I started earning my own money, boy, did I hold on to that money. Like it was the only thing that made my life secure. And when the opportunity came for me to tithe, I didn't realize how hard that was. It was easy to tithe my money when it was an allowance coming from somebody else. When it was money I earned and I realized this is all I'm going to have for the rest of the month, boy, was tithing hard. And then I just obeyed. I didn't enjoy it. I honestly didn't have a revelation for it. I didn't sense the worship of God was happening while I was doing it. Except I did it. And people taught me how to do it. People mentored me. It was the same situation. People spoke into my life and said, here's one of the practical, easy ways. Practical, easy ways to get your faith in action.
I know this session is not about tithing, but it's sure. About internship, it's about impartation and things of that nature. But when you said that, I'm so glad you said that, because a lot of times, especially those of us who work with early church, the faith movement, they've made it appear, I'm not just talking about giving only, but they've made it appear as if it was a name and claim it situation. And made it appear, oh, if you just sold $5, $100, whatever, God will give you $1,000.
Mm-hmm.
In a practical sense, it doesn't even work that way, you know. And Jesus really narrowed it down in a different perspective. But because you said that, as far as the giving and as far as impartation is concerned, it's really critical that we understand living a Christian life is not always going to be the way you think it's going to be.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Yeah.
So I'm so glad that you said that it wasn't easy for you to do that, but you just did it.
Yeah.
You know, and I think sometimes that we can take that application and realize that, okay, I may not have heard God speak in audible voice and this, that, and but because He commanded me in Scripture to love my brother, even though I don't feel like I'm going to love them right now, didn't just let me just do it.
There we go. And sometimes we wait to feel something before we do it. That's where I said, doing will lead to insight a whole lot more than just insight will lead to doing. I mean, I can teach you a gazillion times about tithing. Until you actually tithe, you won't get it.
Mm-hmm. Well, when you were talking about your mom, it reminded me of what I also went through. Because as a widow, I was pregnant with the last child. And when he went to school, the school was expensive, and he was wondering, Mom, how will you pay? I said, just agree with me that God will do it.
Wow.
I remember two times, I needed just like $20,000 or naira
okay.
to get the money, you know, to complete the school fees. So I tried everything. It was not there. So we just went into a morning devotion. We normally have one. After having mine, we'll have together. As we were just praying, there was a knock on the door.
Wow.
And I went. Somebody came with an envelope, and there was just a card inside. I didn't even know. So I said, who sent it? I saw the card. She said, it's a card. I looked at it. And tears just ran down my eyes because it was the exact amount I needed. And it happened again the next time that I had a need of just like 10. I was just on the road, and somebody that was calling me said, oh, I've been looking for you. I needed that money. So God is just too faithful.
There's yes, too faithful.
That He cannot do. He's very, very faithful.
Amen.
So many times that I had a need, like my birthday, my 50th birthday, I said, God, if my husband were to be alive, He would have bought me a Bible cake, gold, and all that. I went with my mom looking for cake. It was so expensive, I couldn't afford it. I went back home. My mom said, you can just cook for people to eat. So we decided to go back. That morning, as we were having a morning devotion in the house, somebody knocked. And I went out. Oh, God, that was the cake I needed. My friends gathered up from very far, from the headquarters of
Praise
Nigeria,
God.
Lagos. And the cake came to me down there in the east.
Wow.
I just stood there. I said, God, you are just too faithful to fail us. All we have to do is just continue to trust him and obey. That's all it
is. Wonderful. Can we give God a hand for that? I am so grateful for people who said, Carlos, you want to learn that? Come, let's talk about it. Let me help you. I'm so grateful. I wasn't raised with a dad. I grew up most of my life, I didn't have one. I'm so grateful for getting informally interned by people in church on how to be a good husband and a good father. Does that make sense? Could that be you for somebody? In something, it doesn't have to be formal. It doesn't have to be formal. Think of opportunities. There are so many opportunities. One of the fun things is we are part of a church that takes campus ministry so seriously. And because we have so many students here, people who are officially, their job description is to learn. They want to succeed. They want to do better in life. They want to do well. The truth is, all of us have had people who helped us get to where we are. Some through an encouraging word, impartation moments like this, but others through really giving us a chance and trying us in an area we were not good at, and then we realize, oh, I'm good at that. Learning skills because somebody gave us opportunities to try it. The first time I prayed in public, wow, it's like, dear God, thank you, God, Lord God, God, amen. That was horrible. I don't think I said anything. I just called his name a gazillion times. But then somebody said, here's what you do. You learn to pray scripture. And then they open the Bible with me, and Carlos, I'm going to do this with you. Okay, pick your favorite verse. All right. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. All right, Lord, I trust you with all of my heart. And Lord, I lean not on my own understanding. And Lord, in all my ways, help me to acknowledge you. I know you will direct my path. And he goes, all right, so just put the verse that you want to pray. Pray it. And what I learned is I learned to pray. And somebody taught me how to pray. I needed to be taught how to pray. You know, when you're talking about internship, it's not just a formal, all right, sign up for the job. But man, I'm going to teach you, okay, how to do this. It could be that. But it could be as simple as, all right, let me teach you how to read the Bible. Do you realize some people don't know how to read the Bible properly? I'm grateful. The guy who taught me how to read the Bible printed a calendar and he said, Carlos, we're going to do this. Now, here's an example of not imparting the law, okay? But in this case, he said, here's what I do to keep me accountable because I hate reading. You know, if I don't give myself a goal, I won't do it myself. You know, he was explaining why he did it. But he goes, but do it with me. Let's print this calendar and every day you're going to read 4 chapters with me. And every week we're going to talk about it. I'm just going to ask you, which 4 chapters did you read? You know, did you get all days? And we're just talking about it. Man, that book, honestly, it's like I'd read it more because I didn't want to disappoint him and I didn't want to get embarrassed when he asked. That's how it started. I read 4 chapters a day just to get through it. This is a long one. You know, I was like, I mean, that's how it felt. But you know what happened? I learned to read the Bible. I'm so grateful for people who came alongside me and coached me in a season where I needed coaching. You could be that for people too. Okay, so what do you actually intern them on? One, confidence. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 4 and 5. Such is the confidence that we have through Christ toward God, not that we are sufficient in ourselves to claim anything as coming from us, but our sufficiency is from God. Okay? Number two, competence. So confidence is, you know, boldness, being able to move forward with courage. Competence is actually skill and capacity. Okay? 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 17 says that the Word of God is given and it's important for us to be thoroughly equipped in every good work. Competent and complete in every good work. Okay, and number three there is teamwork. Okay, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 12 and 13. Though a man might prevail against one who is alone, two will withstand him. A threefold cord... Ecclesiastes. What did I say? Ephesians. Ecclesiastes 4, verse 12 and 13. A threefold cord is not quickly broken. Better was a poor man and wise youth than an old and foolish king who no longer knew how to take advice. Teamwork. Okay, so how do we intern? The internship process is there in a box on your notes. I lead, you watch. I lead, you assist. You lead, I assist. You lead, I watch. And what you're doing is you're moving a person from unconscious incompetence to conscious incompetence to conscious competence to hopefully unconscious competence. What happens is they become proficient, right? But you don't just drop them. You walk them through. Okay? I'll do it. Watch me do it. All right. I'm going to teach you how to share your faith to people in a conversation. Join me the next time, and we're going to sit down, and I'm going to walk through it with you. Right? Okay, the next time, we're going to share. I'm going to start off, and I'm going to ask you to share your testimony. Don't go too long. Just very quick, one point. Don't tell your life story. Right? All right, so let's do it. Okay, and then after that, you give feedback. Man, that was still way too long. Okay, that was like 40 minutes. I said two. Right? And then, so let's lessen it by 38 minutes. All right, so you can do that. And then you go, all right, next time you start. I'll help you out. Don't worry. If you forget what you're saying, just look my way. And I'll cover you. At the end of it, you do it, but I'll be with you. Until it gets to the place that they can do it on their own. That's what parenting is like too, right? That's what the internship's about as well. So, think about it. You know, are the notes still there? Do you still have the observation? So basically, you're telling them observe, then participate, and then number three, evaluate. Let's talk about it. Okay. So there are a lot of examples of internship in the Bible. You can look through that on your own. What I want to do at this point, given the 7 minutes we still have, is I want you to partner up again. And I just want to ask you a question. Okay? Who is one person in your life right now that you can invest yourself in? It's not that can invest in you. Identify one person that's in your sphere of relationship right now that you feel God is giving you an opportunity. They've opened their life to you for some reason. And God is giving you an opportunity to invest into their lives. Okay? Identify the person and think of one practical thing that you think you can start this investment on. Like, what is it? What lesson? What skill? What opportunity? Okay? Could you partner up real quick? Talk that through. And then we'll pray. Go. Okay. All right. I do want to challenge you at the end of this class to do two things. To do two things. Ooh, there we go. That was tough. One, I really want to challenge you to do a gratitude visit. A gratitude visit It's some kind of way. If you can't physically visit the person, then at least engage the person through a call or send a snail mail letter, something. More than a text. Something more than a text. To say thank you to one of the people that you identified as have made a significant impact in your life. Can I just challenge you to do that? Thank them. Because for whatever they did, it impacted you. It moved you forward in your relationship with God. It got you where you are today. That's a big deal. The fun thing is, when you do something like that, it makes you feel really good too. That's the funny thing about this. So I really just want to challenge you. It'll benefit you when you do it. But the second one is, if that person didn't spend the time to do it, you wouldn't have gotten that. Could you be that to somebody else this week? Just make time, something. Invest your time and your ears. Not so much your mouth sometimes. Your ears on other people. Somebody specific this week. Somebody tangible. Somebody practical. Somebody you identified just now. Okay? Let's pray. Lord, we're grateful you call us to community. You don't ask us to walk this walk alone. That means there are people that you have assigned to walk alongside us in this season, to encourage us, spur us on, grow us, equip us, and at the same time, you've assigned us in other people's lives to do the same. Thank you, Lord, for the grace you've given us to be a source of encouragement to others, to be a giver of life, really to speak life into other people's situation, and sometimes to speak truth in love. But may we earn the right to do that through our caring and our love. Lord, bless everybody. May they act on what we just learned this week. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 We're done. Last week, next week.